Please be seated. The next case on the panel's argument calendar this morning is Richard William Hoagland versus the State of Nevada, number 52704. Mr. Westbrook, you ready to proceed?
I am, Your Honor.
Mr. O'Neill, you ready to go also?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Good morning. Yes,
Your Honors, may it please the Court, my name is David Westbrook, and I'm pleased to be able to represent Mr. Hoagland here today. I'm requesting a 5-minute rebuttal and 10 minutes for argument this time. Thank you. Your Honor, there's just one issue in this case. It's a very simple issue, and it's this. We're here to decide whether or not necessity is a valid defense in DUI cases. In any DUI cases. That was the issue that Judge Corey determined down below. We're not here to talk about the specific facts of this case. In fact, they're not relevant to that determination. Judge Corey addressed the specific facts of this case down below in making his determination, and in fact agreed with the defense position that we had a factual predicate to present a necessity defense. In fact, he actually said on the record that he thought it would be appropriate for us to be able to do a necessity defense, that it would make common sense for us to be able to do that. But ultimately what he ruled, and he was very, very specific about this, was that he could see no case law or statute that expressly authorized the necessity defense in the DUI cases, and he didn't want to be the first judge at the district court level in order to make that kind of precedence. This turned out to be ironic.
If there were a necessity defense by common law, what would the elements be in your version of it?
Well, we put down the elements in our brief, which I can certainly read back into the record. There are seven elements, but what necessity always has to do with, essentially, is some immediacy of harm and some unavailability of some other action in order to combat the harm.
And what in your proffer made what you were offering sufficient factually to qualify under that necessity defense?
Under Rojas, as you know, we only have to provide a small amount of evidence in order to support that defense, or any defense, in fact, in order to be able to present it and get an instruction. In this case, our proffer, which we would have bared out in the defense case, was that Mr. Hoagland didn't want to drive his car. He was forced to by a security guard who said that if he didn't move his car off the premises into a different parking space, then it would be towed. Mr. Hoagland lived in his car, so it wasn't just a matter of paying a ticket, which he wouldn't have been able to pay. He was facing the loss of not just his property, but of his home. So the stakes were incredibly high for him. There was no other way that he could, in his estimation, avoid losing, it becomes a jury issue at that point, avoid losing his car slash home, so he moved it because he was forced to move it. Therefore, he had the necessity. And Judge Corey specifically and expressly found that that was adequate in order to get an instruction. His issue was he didn't think that necessity was available as a defense, not because there was any case law or statute that stated it wasn't available as a defense. In fact, the state or the district attorney's office in its brief was unable to cite to a single case in any jurisdiction or a single statute in any jurisdiction outlawing necessity as a defense in DUI. There is no law outlawing it.
Well, I'm unconvinced with, I mean, assume for the sake of argument that necessity is a defense in a DUI case. I'm unconvinced that your proffer matches what the common law elements of the necessity defense would be, and that's the problem I'm having here, because I don't see somebody who is in his vehicle and being asked to move it has no other choice, and that the harm is imminent and immediate, which is what the common law requires for necessity defense. There are statutes that modify that, and the model penal code goes elsewhere in terms of what's required. But a classic common law non-statute-based necessity defense requires much more than what your proffer suggested. So my question is, even if we adopted it and said it's here, it's available, how do you meet it?
Well, first of all, Judge Corey agreed that we did meet it. So there is that factual finding, and I understand that that would be, that question's not really before the court. I'm absolutely going to address it. But it would be a mixed question of law and fact. Judge Corey's factual findings would still carry weight. He found that we had met the basics required for necessity, particularly under the standards of Rojas. What you're asking, Your Honor, would be a question for the jury, which is the entire point. It would be a question for the jury. The jury could very well have found that we didn't meet the requirements of necessity, or that the state was able to disprove necessity as a matter of law.
So that your argument, Mr. Westbrook, is that the judge wasn't finding that the proffer met the elements of the defense, but it provided the slight or marginal evidence necessary to justify the giving of the jury instruction under Carter.
That's correct, Your Honors. Yeah, he absolutely found that we had the factual predicate. What he didn't find was that the defense exists in the context of DUIs. Now, he found that it exists generally, but he agreed with us that we had a factual proffer, and at that point, it should go to the jury. The mistake was made.
I would appreciate it if you could focus on the legal question, not whether the defense exists, but the basis of the judge's decision and the legal issue postured by the state. And that is, if I understand their argument correctly, in a DUI case in Nevada, which is a strict liability statutory violation, this common law defense doesn't exist.
I'm very glad you brought that up.
And my question is, I'm unclear, other than Judge Corey saying, I don't want to be the first district court judge to decide whether such a defense exists in a DUI case, what was the legal reason he rejected this defense in a DUI case?
That was his proffered legal reason. He literally said,
I don't want to be the first?
I don't want to be the first.
Well,
if the Supreme Court hasn't said that I can do.
That's not very helpful to the legal analysis.
I agree, which is why you should reverse. But regardless, he also denied our ability. I'm very glad you brought up the state's argument. This is the Whistler case that they were citing. They have miscited that case. That case absolutely does not stand for the proposition that DUI is a strict liability offense. I know the state's life would be incredibly easy if it were a strict liability defense. Or a strict liability offense, but it's not. What Whistler expressly says, and in fact the state quotes this language in its own brief and still comes to the wrong conclusion, what Whistler expressly says is that there are two elements in any DUI. One element is being intoxicated. As to intoxication, it doesn't matter whether you thought you were intoxicated, didn't know, or didn't do it on purpose. As to driving, you have to willfully drive your car. So willfulness is still an element. We were expressly denied by the court the ability to attack willfulness on this case. And the fact that Whistler parses those two elements of the offense and talks expressly about willfulness being an element of the driving part of the offense shows you that we must be able to do necessity, because as this court knows, necessity is a justification offense or defense. Necessity is designed to attack willfulness. So therefore, under Whistler, it's not at all a stretch. In fact, it supports our position. Whistler essentially states that there is a necessity to defend. It just doesn't address the issue directly. You can't, if there is willfulness as part of the statute, necessity always has to be present as a defense, unless there's some statute or some case that specifically says we will not accept necessity as a defense. The exception has never been made. And so what Judge Corey, who's an incredibly gracious and conscientious judge, did was he got the situation backwards. He wanted to avoid making precedents by being the first judge to allow necessity as a defense in DUI. And in doing that, he made precedents by being the first judge to deny it. There's absolutely no evidence that he would have been the first judge to allow necessity defense in a DUI. There's plenty of evidence that he's the first judge ever to deny it. Because if there had ever been a judge in the state of Nevada who had ever denied a defendant the ability to present necessity as a defense in DUI, we would have seen a case sometime in the last 100 years. There's never been one. There's only two reasons why that could possibly be. Either it's never ever been denied before, or if it has been denied, someone didn't appeal it, which I can't imagine would be the situation. So necessity exists until someone in legal authority says otherwise. And the result of the course of this court affirming Judge Corey's decision would be really catastrophic, because essentially what the court would have to say is, you don't get to present a legally valid defense unless the legislature expressly and specifically authorizes that defense. Can you imagine what that would cause? Defense attorneys would have to go check with the judge and potentially with the state before presenting any kind of defense on the off chance that they're not going to be allowed to present it. That would turn all jurisprudence on its ear. It would completely violate Rojas, and it would violate due process. Mr. Hoagland and every defendant has a right to present a defense. In this case, necessity is a valid, recognized defense. Now, I understand the court's question regarding the factual predicate, but that question was answered by Judge Corey. And furthermore, if you're not satisfied with that particular answer, what you would have heard Mr. Hoagland say, and we made an offer of proof in this respect, is he would have gotten on the stand and he would have testified that there was not an easy, congenial exchange between himself and the security guard. The security guard was threatening him with immediate action.
Are you arguing outside the record, though?
I'm not, because there's an offer of proof on the record. Now, the state has taken issue with our offer of proof. Obviously, attorneys are allowed to make offers of proof, and this is in the record. And that he felt that he had no other choice but to move his car. Now, the jury then would have decided whether or not he had another choice. The jury would have decided whether or not the threat was immediate. Those are all jury decisions, and that's why we needed to have the instruction.
Well, it's a little bit difficult to say, to give much weight to the trial judge's conclusion that the jury instruction would have been given if it were a valid defense, when no one has yet articulated in Nevada what the elements of necessity defense are in a DUI case, if it exists.
Well, and that's why we referred to the CALJIC, the California jury instructions, and we went outside in the same exact way that the defendant did when we established necessity in escape cases. That was also a situation where Nevada lawmakers just simply hadn't addressed the specifics.
Well, counsel, is necessity, you made the assertion that it's clear, but is it in fact clear? Is it clear based upon the split of authority as to necessity in DUI cases?
Well, Your Honor, there actually is no split of authority. There are some cases where they have not found...
Judge Corey seems to, in part of his quote, he says... the fact that what the authority there is from other states is split.
To be fair, Judge Corey was reviewing a lot of cases that he'd never seen before, never considered before, and an issue he'd never considered before.
That's why I asked you the question.
That's right. In the briefs, however, it's very clear that there's not a single case in which a Supreme Court in any other state or even a legislature has said that necessity is not available. There are several cases where courts have determined there was no factual predicate. In cases where factual predicate was the issue. That's not the issue.
Are we limited, and I disagree with your last statement, are we limited, counsel, by authority? We have states that have accepted necessity, and we have some that have not accepted necessity because of statutory authority. Is that the only split, or is there a subsplit within that?
I don't know that there's a subsplit within that. My reading of the laws, and again, there's nothing that says that it can't be done. There's zero authority that says that necessity can't be used as a defense. In the absence of authority stating the defense is invalid under Rojas and the Due Process Clause, you have to allow it, even if there's only a little bit of evidence to support it. I mean, that's the law, and that's the law that would be cast asunder if the state affirms, or if the court affirms today. As to the specific legal arguments, they're predominantly factual, and most of them don't get to the basic issue, which is necessity a defense or is it not? It is a defense, and the state will present nothing to you in the next 15 minutes that will give you a case law saying that it is not a defense in DUI cases. With that, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time. Thanks.
All right, sir. Mr. O'Neill.
Honorable Associate Chief Justice, Honorable Justices of Nevada Supreme Court, my name is L.J. O'Neill. I'm a Deputy District Attorney. I'm here representing the state of Nevada in this matter. Whistler, as decided by this court, in fact directly addressed whether DUI was a strict liability offense. It did that on page 408 of the opinion, where they characterized Whistler's argument as saying, Whistler argues that, as in Wallace, DUI is not a strict liability offense in Nevada. And then they proceeded to rule against him. So, in fact, in Whistler, they did take into account whether this was a strict liability offense. Also, I don't think the facts of this case are irrelevant. Under the case and controversy doctrine, we're not here to discuss an airy hypothetical. We're here to discuss the law as it arises on the facts of a particular case. And the facts of this particular case, the instruction that was submitted, and that's at the page 27 of the appendix, is a mishmash. It does not state a valid necessity defense. It actually is more of a choice of evils defense, which is a statutory defense in some states, but not in Nevada. Also, it says quite incorrectly that the state has the burden to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant was not acting out of necessity. As this court recognized in Jorgensen, necessity is an affirmative defense that must be proved by the defendant, and there is no constitutional bar to making a defendant do that. In this particular case, necessity...
But Mr. O'Neill, yes. Since we're talking about this particular case, didn't the trial judge basically say, I'm not letting you go there? He didn't even get to the secondary part that you're talking about right now, about whether it met or didn't meet. He just said, we're not going there.
That was after the proffer of the necessity instruction in chambers. Yes, he did.
Well, we had the proffer because they weren't allowed to produce evidence.
No, the proffer, all of this discussion came about after we went into chambers to settle the instructions, and the necessity instruction was proffered. Then the discussion of necessity came up.
So you would disagree with their position that they weren't allowed to present evidence as to this issue?
No, I would not disagree. I think Judge Corey did in fact say that as it was posited in this case, that they could not go forward and argue. I think he didn't. I don't know if he said he could present evidence, but I believe he said they could not argue necessity. And he said that because he would not give this instruction, and to allow them to argue would be to allow them to argue outside the court's instructions on the law.
Which raises the kind of raises the question I posed to Mr. Westbrook. if the panel were to conclude, if the court were to conclude that a common law necessity defense exists in a DUI case, since the elements of that defense and who has the burden to prove it have not been articulated yet, how could we say that the district court rejected it based on the facts in this case or the offer of proof? Wouldn't we have to reverse and remand?
If I understand the question correctly, I do not think you need to. If you decided that necessity is a defense in each and every DUI case, then you probably have to reverse and remand in all candor.
Well, I guess we concluded that it's available, depending on what the facts are. I mean,
well, and
here the judge didn't. Since the court hasn't articulated the elements or who has the burden, I don't know that we can place much weight on the judge's casual observation that I think it would be available in this case.
Well, when we discussed the reservation of appeal issues in the conditional plea, and this is at page 137 of the appendix, Mr. Westbrook said, actually Mr. Landis talking, Mr. Westbrook said, we want to make sure the Nevada Supreme Court doesn't think we're talking about the specific language of a specific instruction, but instead we're being precluded from a defense of necessity and a defense of no willfulness. The court, that is correct. And then I interjected, that is not my understanding, I'm sorry. My understanding was that they were being precluded from the necessity defense as outlined in their instruction because they argued rather strenuously that it was a valid and proper instruction as to the law. And the court said, well, I thought that's the same thing he just said. So there's an indication in the record that I suppose you could say the judge said we were talking about the facts of the case and the particular instruction offered. That's what he said.
Was that reservation articulated in the plea agreement, or did they? I didn't
It was, to my knowledge, it was not. I don't recall specifically.
I don't remember seeing it there, but...
So what is your position, that under no circumstances is necessity a defense in a DUI case, but if it is, these facts did not meet it? Or is it that the jury instruction as offered failed to articulate a valid necessity defense?
All of the above. All of the above. There is no necessity defense to a DUI. There may be a duress defense, but duress and necessity are two separate things.
Okay, but move past that. If there is a necessity defense, what about the proffer in this case was deficient, assuming we were to recognize a common law necessity defense?
It was deficient for a number of reasons. You've been told that Mr. Hoagland was afraid, or he was told that his car would be towed. In fact, contrary to the statement of facts by the appellant, that's not true. Mr. Kettering, who was the executive of Salvation Army, said in answer to a question on cross-examination, if their car is parked illegally and they refuse to move it, then we will call Metro. He also said he wasn't the one who did the call, and his job was to observe and report. It was security who did the enforcement. The security officer, Mr. Cundy, said, I asked him to move the car because it was parked illegally. He didn't know he was intoxicated, didn't know that until he had actually hit, after he had hit the other vehicle. Mr. Hoagland backed up his car at high speed with people yelling for him to stop, hit a parked truck that was behind him, and drove off. And it was only after he returned and his exit was blocked by Mr. Cundy, and Mr. Cundy could smell the alcohol on Mr. Hoagland, then he called Metro. And Mr. Cundy said, I wouldn't have had his car towed, I wouldn't have called Metro. The necessity here it doesn't exist. You can say, gosh, I can't drive right now. Gosh, can someone else move my car for me? There's a variety of things, and necessity implies that there is an emergency situation. There's no emergency situation here.
If the court were to recognize the common law necessity defense as to DUI, what elements do you contend would be the appropriate ones to include in that defense?
I don't know that the court can, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what the can of worms is. Because necessity defense involves balancing harm. How do you balance the harm of a DUI? You can't do it. Many people drive impaired by alcohol or drugs, and they get home undetected and safe without causing anything more than maybe a near miss.
Mr. O'Neill, can you point us to any legislative authority as to why this cannot be recognized by the court?
Legislative authority? I think it is a matter for the legislature to decide.
Because as I indicated to counsel, in looking at these other jurisdictions, either the legislature is silent, so it goes forward, or the legislature specifically has indicated it's not allowed.
Yeah, and there are states which recognize what's called a choice of evils defense. We don't do that. I don't think since DUI is not a common law crime, and since it is a crime as recognized in Morissette versus United States, it is an offense which is illegal because it is to promote the public safety. It's a public safety and welfare offense. It's not a common law offense. I don't think, with all respect, a common law defense applies to a crime that's not a common law crime. You have to have a statutory defense, and we don't have one. And to get back to yours, how do you measure the harm of a DUI? Can you say he would have driven home safely? He would have crashed into another vehicle. Can you say he would have hit a car or a pedestrian and killed somebody? There's no way up front that you can balance the harm. You just can't do it.
But isn't one of the elements, if you did have necessity, that he didn't substantially contribute to the situation in which he found himself either? So
absolutely. Absolutely. In cases where they have recognized necessity or choice of...
I understand your balancing point. I'm just focusing on if your fallback argument is...
You cannot have contributed to the situation that set everything in motion.
So how would Rojas apply with this common law necessity defense? At what point does the person get the instruction? Every case where he says, well, I felt like I really had to move the car?
Well, that's every case in the world. Every case. Every single case you could say, well, I felt that there was some necessity for me to do whatever I did. That's every case. That's why we limit it to what a reasonable person would have reasonably believed on these facts. And I don't think that's not here. It's not this case. And if it may be some hypothetical case, I mean, where do you draw the line? I was driving 100 miles an hour because I was being chased by flesh-eating space aliens. That's an actual case out of the Midwest. Where do you draw the line? In this case, I think the line is drawn right at the beginning. There is no necessity defense to a DUI. If there were a necessity defense, it certainly wouldn't be this instruction of law that was proffered. And at one point during the trial, they said, well, you know, if our instruction's wrong, we can put on our thinking caps and come up with something other. And they say in their brief that the court and the state refused to aid in recrafting the instruction. Nothing in the record supports that. Nothing. We have a statement of Mr. Westbrook we can put on our thinking caps, whatever that might mean. But this instruction is just plain wrong. With this instruction on these facts in this case, it would not be a legal defense. I am suggesting to the court, so there's no doubt, I am suggesting to the court that there is no necessity defense in the state of Nevada to a DUI. If there were such a defense, it would have to be crafted by the legislature. But there isn't. You can always come up with some kind of hypothetical, and the cases that we've cited have some extreme facts. People, the one case in which it was recognized, the Schotten case out of, I believe, Vermont, where the woman was driving herself to the hospital. But how do you balance the harm when the harm of driving driving while impaired can be nothing, and it can be all the way up to many people dead? I mean, are you supposed to be able to predict that when you start to drive? The drunk driver can't. How can we? How can anyone?
Isn't that a function of the trier of fact?
I don't think so, with all respect, Your Honor, because the trier of fact is supposed to determine fact, not supposed to determine speculation or probability or what woulda, coulda, mighta happen. And that's what you have to do. If you stop someone who's driving drunk before they have a chance to do any or much harm, there's absolutely no way that any trier of fact or any reasonable person can predict what harm might have come. You just can't do it.
Okay. Is there anything further, Mr. O'Neill?
Thank you, Your Honor. No.
Okay. Any questions by my colleagues? No. All right. Mr. Westbrook, you have a little time left for your rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. We don't draw the line. We're not in the line-drawing business. This is not the legislature, and it is not a jury. This is the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court doesn't draw this line. The juries do. Your Honor, you asked a question. Is that not the trier of facts job? Of course, that is the trier of facts job. If you accept the state's position here, you accept that there can be no necessity possible to ever justify a DUI. You've removed a classic justification defense. On a public welfare crime, you've eliminated a public welfare defense. That cannot be done by the Supreme Court. It can be done by the legislature.
Well, it's ultimately the trier of facts job, but as a threshold question, whether you get the defense, whether you get the instruction, is a preliminary determination by the court as to whether you've made a requisite showing that you're entitled to the defense.
It is. And Judge
Corden, so I think it'd be helpful if maybe you could answer Justice Pickering's question. in this instance, under the most lax review of the various elements associated with a necessity defense, one prevailing element is that the defendant didn't put themselves in that position. What say you with respect to the argument that your client did?
The state is arguing there's no evidence to support it. What we have to recognize is that the defense never presented its case because the case ended the minute Judge Corey said we couldn't have our defense.
Counsel, let's go back to that, because I asked Mr. O'Neill on the record. Did the judge say that, or was that only asked to wouldn't allow at the conclusion the jury instructions?
Your Honor, what happened, and I can actually give you a citation for that, if you have a question for a second. On page 171 of our appendix, you'll note that at line 13 and 14, 13 through 15, excuse me, that Judge Corey was making his decision as to all DUI cases, not the specific facts of this case. Mr. O'Neill says that our position was on the facts of this case as a necessity instruction, even if one could be written in the style that was actually addressed in the cases that we cited as a court, would not be appropriate, and a necessity defense would not be appropriate in this case on the facts of this case. Sounded like Mr. O'Neill was talking about facts.
Was that said during the settling of the instructions?
No, that was
said. Or was that said when you indicated the judge you wanted to put this defense forward and offer proof?
That was said after the offer of proof, Your Honor. And then Judge Corey
said... And the offer of proof was made...
On the record. Well, it's made both in chambers and on the record later. It was repeated on the record.
But did you attempt... You did not attempt to put on a case to establish that?
No, we did not put on any witnesses because we were told that we would not be allowed to present our defense. Having been told we couldn't present a defense, I had no way to question my client on the stand in any way that would do any good for him. He couldn't present a defense anymore. And if this court...
Your point, Mr. Westbrook, is that when you visited with the judge about the jury instruction on necessity, and he concluded that it didn't exist, he advised you that you would not be permitted to argue or present evidence in support of such a defense.
That's correct, Your Honor. He precluded us from arguing or presenting evidence in support of our defense. That
vitiated our case. But that's distinct from the proffer that you made that would have justified him in giving that necessity defense. Under the evidence code, you are entitled to say, I appreciate that, Judge. Here's my proffer. If called, this witness would say X. And my question to you is a repeat of what Justice Hardesty asked a moment ago, which is, what facts were offered to show that your client did not substantially contribute to the emergency he claims he found himself in?
And I believe I can address it this way, Your Honor. We didn't present our facts because the case ended the minute Judge Corey said we couldn't get evidence based on willfulness or on necessity or any of the things we wanted to question our client about. Thus, if you're concerned about a lack of facts supporting necessity in this case, then you should remand it and have an evidentiary hearing so you can get the evidence before you. Because without the evidentiary hearing, this body has nothing to do but guess. And in reality, we have a factual finding by Judge Corey that we had a predicate, a factual predicate to support the instruction. He just said that the instruction is not available, and I quote, in any case, necessity is not a defense to DUI. That's why this is not a fact-based case. It's entirely a legal issue. Is necessity available or is it not? If, again, this body is concerned with facts, please reverse and remand it. We'll present our actual testimony and our actual facts, and then there can be a reasonable interpretation of whether or not there is a factual predicate to support necessity. However, again, the only issue really before this court, as I started out my time with, is necessity a defense to DUI or is it not? The law says it is, and there is no contrary authority to say that it is not.
Okay, any other questions by my colleagues? All right, thank you, Mr. Westbrook.
Thank
Mr. O'Neill, we thank you for your briefs and your arguments today. Well done. We appreciate your input.